All right. Well, our teaching, again, is on the life of Christ. We've entered into and started in 2 weeks ago into the areas dealing with the teachings of Jesus. Our first one with it was really looking at really the mass healings and stuff he did. What we call today sort of like crusade type ministry of doing that. One of the things I want you to get is we're looking into the individuals. One of the things that God has dealt with me on is this fact is we do not do enough teaching in the church world on healing. We don't do enough. People talk about preaching the gospel, yet healing's not a great emphasis in it, so we're not preaching the gospel. Jesus had to do tons of preaching and teaching on healing to have a healing ministry. And so we need to understand this, and they talk about him preaching the gospel as none of the thing is healing. People wouldn't have come in individually to him if they thought they weren't going to get nothing.
Right.
The whole thing is people followed him because of that. One of the greatest emphasis, you know, if you're a studier of revival, we talk about, you know, people getting saved, but the greatest moves of God that we've ever seen on this earth were healing revivals, were people getting saved. It's because of healing revivals, not because somebody just preaching Jesus saying, oh, you can get saved. It was manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and healing will always be a general great manifestation. It's one of the things that we need to do in the church world, especially toward children's ministry, is do a lot of emphasis on the healing. You know, I'm just going to tell you this. I've learned this about especially gaining spiritual understanding and knowledge. There's places of spiritual development that Christians will never go unless they understand the healing ministry of Jesus. And this is a thing we need to understand is when we understand, when we talk about healing, it isn't knowing that God heals or can heal. It's knowing how to walk in it. Through that will lead you and open up development of a lot of things. There's a thing about intimacy. God through healing is a very intimate thing. You know, people can say, well, Jesus saves and that's wonderful. What does he do with it? What's in it? See, anybody's relationship of things of intimacy is because of certain things within it. Getting married don't make a great marriage.
Right.
See, some people think getting saved don't make a great salvation or a great Christian. And really, people say you need a personal relationship with Jesus, and you'd say to the average Christian, even spirit-filled Christian, do you really know Jesus the healer? Do you know him as healer? Do you really know him like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people will say they do, and they don't at all. I mean, they don't, and really, it's understanding him in this area, because there's one thing, as I learned when I started off as a Christian, is God made so much emphasis to me on the ministry of Jesus the healer. Because, you know, you think in this world today, what if you could bring sickness and disease to a stop? What would it do?
Amen.
That's right.
You know, sickness and disease is personal. but Christianity is doing very little about it. This personal thing that's affects so much, we have emphasis on all kinds of stuff. You know, there's much more emphasis on money and things and all kinds of stuff like that. This one thing is the Lord told me years ago when I was a very young Christian. He said to me that he wanted his people well. He said, if my people are well, he said, when they're sick, they can't do my will. They can't go do what I want them to do. They're limited in what they can do. Number two, it said it robs their wealth. They're standing around believing for money. He said, they're believing money to pay their health bills. They're believing money for all this stuff because their money's getting eaten up and all kind of other things. So they don't have the finances that they need to do things. You know, if you took United States, how much money, like say we do pay in health insurance? I mean, you go to corporations, like, this is one thing people don't understand. They talk about, you know, where they work at and all that kind of stuff, and, oh, they ought to pay me more. And people don't realize that they're paying probably them just as much in health care as they do wage. They don't realize how much money it costs to do health care.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand this. God has a system, and he wants people well. And you got to get that in your mind. That is a thing that's on the top of his agenda. He said to me, the number one thing I want for my people, if they get saved, I want them filled with the Holy Ghost, but the number one, I want my people well.
Amen.
Well, that ain't on the top of the list of church, but it is Jesus. It's on the top of, you know, he took your infirmities and bore your sickness. He was cursed, so you don't have to be. To turn around thinking sickness is something we can go away with that, well, we're doing our best, that's sort of a slap in the face. Mm-hmm. See, we need to get it because we go to the world, you know, there's nothing more personal. If you found out somebody could actually get rid of disease and stuff, I mean, people chase them down. I mean, you know, we're spending billions trying to get rid of cancer and they never will. You know, it's just all this stuff that we're doing to do things and knowing Jesus as the healer, where you get so convinced that God wants you well. See, I can't see it any other way than God wants me well.
Amen.
I can't see it any other way. See, we know this, that people, what happens? Christians say, I believe in healing, but they get sick. Then they start wondering, well, maybe God does, maybe there's a reason why I'm like this. And maybe they right away they start thinking on God's side. They always think, well, did God, you know, what did I do that God, is God upset? God, they deal with the areas of God. No, I know this number one. God, if that's something's going on, I know you want me well. So, you know, this is not a discussion of whether he wants. No, I know what he wants 100%. I know there's no doubt about it. You got to get convinced in that because the devil will carry you right over to that place if you're willing to go to it. He'll carry you there. He'll take you there. Your trouble is God. That's what it is. And see, if you take with the world, the majority of the church preaches that the reason sickness and disease is God. You need to understand the world believes that because most Christians believe it. The world ain't going to be preaching something that the negative church don't preach. And most of the church is negative in this area. A majority of it. Majority of churches, whether they believe in salvation, all they want, but when it comes to healing, it's all in God's will that God, you're sick. It's all in God's will of what he's doing. This is where it's at. And so we need to understand, we take a gospel of the world, we need to take a gospel. God wants you well. You know, God wants to save you, heal you. He wants your life to be blessed, the whole thing. This is what his desire is. This is what God wants. Now, you're going to be talking sideways to a lot of people from that because of what they've been trained. See, when I was a kid, church, you know, God was the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they used to talk about the devil, and I remember asking my parents, well, if God's doing all this stuff, what's the devil do? You know, God's bad. I thought God was the bad guy. I did. Mm-hmm. I come to the conclusion, they say God is love. And I used to think, how can that be? Every bad thing he does. If I did what God did, my word, my people, my parents would have paddled me all day and all night. I mean, they were just all the time. And they said, God loves you. And I said, man, I wish he'd quit loving me. I have enough problem without him loving me. And I thought adults would walk along and say that. Just as dumb as I thought adults were the most ignorant, stupid people around. I thought, what happens when you get older? Do you lose your mind? And I'll tell you what, if you fall into religion, you'll lose your mind. You won't have it. You won't think right. See, God is good. See, we say, is God good is all the time? Now I want you to have this. You need to get thinking like that all the time. Not something you just nicely say, but that's a reality to you. God's good. There's no shadow of turning in him. Get that yourself. So when we look at these things, Jesus had to teach healing because it must be taught to have faith. And if it requires faith to please God, he couldn't have been talking that God makes you sick for a reason. It's an impossibility because that would rob your faith.
Amen.
You couldn't believe God if he's saying the opposite. He has to be speaking. Faith comes from hearing the word. So for me to have faith in God for healing, then he must be preaching healing because he's preaching he don't. You know, that's why we see Jesus. Look at his ministry. Sit down, at least have a, if he said, I don't say anything the Father doesn't say, you know, I don't do anything. And then he told the apostles, he told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, show me any time that he made someone sick or any time he said God the Father wanted people sick for a reason. Never once. Never once. You need to settle that kind of thing. That needs to become in you because that needs to come. If people want to talk to you about God, you're going to respond to them according to what you really believe.
Amen.
This is what it is, you know. And you want to get there. You want to get to that place where your thoughts of God, he's on my side.
Amen.
I don't care if I messed up, got myself in trouble with the devil. God wants to help me out. If anybody wants, like the Bible says, if God be for you, who could be against you? Well, if God's against you, ain't nobody be for you. It don't matter who's for you.
Right.
You're done. If God would be against you, you're finished. You know, who's going to stand up to God? So see, I mean, you think about it. See, God wants us all. God wants to bless us. God wants to take care of us. God wants to look after us. And so that's, always get that in your mind. He's good. Stay over in those, thoughts. If something comes, see, I can mess up, but he can never mess up. So if God's always wanting to bring faith to you. And over the years, I mean, I have looked at these scriptures and read them through and read a lot of them. There's a, as we go through, we went through last week, we had looked at the centurion. We had looked through that. We looked at one of them, dealing with the healing of the centurion. And, we looked at the one in Matthew. Now, Luke has the same one. I'm not going to go back and read the one because there's a little difference between them. It's like sort of an added two that you can see a little bit more about this sort this centurion. And because we want to read this, this is really good when Matthew talks about this because you can, I want you to understand things about authority. These will help you understand about authority. Because dealing with this, when we deal with Matthew's side, Matthew talked as if the centurion personally, he went out to Jesus and things, but we're going to find out Matthew tells a little bit different story and we're going to tell, we'll understand why. Now in Luke, the seventh chapter is where we're going to go to. Luke, the seventh chapter. And we're going to start 7th chapter, verse 1 we'll go to. And it says, now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. It says, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Now, Matthew says that he came. Now, I want you to understand this. We're dealing with him. Jesus is dealing with this subject of authority. Understand this about authority. It even, this is the way God operates too. Here's a man in authority. He sends someone to tell Jesus. You need to understand, it's just as if he came. That person is going to speak what he told them to say. We have the same thing. When an angel shows up, an angel never speaks on its own accord. Never. An angel will always speak what God said. Many times people have had angels speak to them and even they didn't even know it was an angel. They heard a voice. And they'll say, the Lord said. Do you ever think about this? The Holy Spirit speaks and people say, God said. Why? Because they'll always speak under that authority. We're having this. It's this man sends somebody. It's exactly as if he came himself. Do you ever notice that about like say, just even the president. President will say something, one of his advisors will get up and speak, and he'll say all this thing under the authority of the president. No, the president said this. In other words, he's telling you under the authority of what the president said. And you know what? It's just as if the president's speaking. He's under that authority. So, we see this is what's going on here. So he sent these elders, they're pleading with him, to come to his servant. Verse 4 says, and when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one from whom he should do this was deserving. Now, the ones who came and said that he deserves this, why he's a good guy. We're going to find out he's a good guy. Why? For he loves our nation. He's built a synagogue. So in other words, here we are. Now, understand, he sent leaders of the Jews. And you know what? They don't have faith. I want you to see this. What was their reply why this guy ought to be, this servant ought to be healed? Because of works. Had nothing to do with faith. He does good stuff. You don't get healed by good stuff. I don't care how many good, how much you've obeyed God does not qualify you for anything. Faith does. See, they said, hey, he deserves to be healed. He did good for us. So he deserves this. Well, you know, sometimes we don't do good, so do we throw that in the thing then, the mix? And so maybe if my good things outweigh my bad things, then I ought to get it. But, you know, how far does that scale go? I like the faith thing because it equalizes it all, you know. The faith thing says that's where you want to go. So it says here, but it says then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, Do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. So he sent people out. He didn't feel like he was worthy enough to even go out to Jesus. He understood an area of dealing with areas of authority. He said, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. You see, he understood faith. These leaders, these people that he sent to of the Jews, they're talking healed by works. This guy understood. He just said to Jesus, you just say the word, my servant will be made well. This is it. You don't have to come here because I'm not worthy that you come here. You just go ahead and say the word. You know, I don't want to trouble you. I just believe you. Okay? So we see that from the other one also. So actually we find out this man did not personally go to Jesus for trouble, but he was very respectful of Jesus. He was very respectful of his position and his authority. He had high respect for his authority, that the words of Jesus was enough to take care of it. You know, if you ever think about that, you see, he was under Roman government. If Caesar said something, it was getting carried. That was it. He understood that. You need, if you're going to go to a high level of faith, you need to understand this. Not something off a page of a book. It needs to come to the place that you would, the words of Jesus are enough. You don't need something else.
Amen.
See, you want to come to that place where it's enough for you, that the word is enough. He just said, you say the word. Now, see, we look at these things, you know, concerning this. Is the word enough? When the apostle Paul wrote and said about the book of Hebrews that we have a more sure, you know, word. Then he said, if angels would come and say something. In other words, the words that we have here, are they enough? Well, surely they are. They are enough. But people many times want something further. I want something more than that. And as we go on in these studies of these things, we're going to find out concerning things that Jesus said concerning people as we go on into it here. And you'll see this. Well, this man went on to say, and he said, concerning Jesus, he said, my servant will be healed. He said, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I am, and I say to the one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, keep in mind, he's speaking to all these Jews. Crowd falling. You guys ain't got the faith of a Roman centurion. I'm sure that went over big like a lead balloon. You know, I just did say that. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So we find out it worked out. In other words, he's doing this, and especially, here's an incident that we have here and this one here twice. We need to really take these seriously. Is the fact that if the Holy Spirit has followed in this to have our scriptures and put in Jesus' ministry, and these kinds of things are put in them, we should spend much time looking at these things. And we don't. The church spends all kind of time looking at all kind of things and doesn't. And I'll tell you what, it does. It brings a great effect and really a hardship of faith on people. We want to get ourselves over where our faith concerning the goodness of God to heal and thing should just be a natural thing. You know, I would have never thought that my parents would want me sick for a reason. You know, I don't care if I did something bad. You know, they whooped me for it, but they never wanted me to be sick. You know, the average church you go to, the majority of them you go to, they believe parents are better than God. They do, their beliefs. You know? God makes us sick for a reason, that stuff. He's trying to teach us. And, you know, and we say, we ought to be like Jesus. Oh, make people sick? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to be like Jesus. Yeah, we're going to make people sick for you. I tell you, we're going to make our kids sick. Absolutely strange. And, you know, it sounds crazy. It sounds like I'm going over and over this, but this is such deep-seated stuff that we're dealing with people out here. And I find out people in the world are full of it because of what they have been heard and heard about God. Heard people say. And so one thing's talking always to people about the goodness of God. I will tell you why, one of the reasons you want to do it. It'll improve your health if you will do it. If you don't brag on God on health, it's going to affect yours.
Amen.
It'll affect your health. This is why many Christians, even say they believe in healing, have trouble. They don't ever talk it. No, I'm going to tell you what. Your voice is going to, you know, James wrote and talked about, he said, about your tongue controls your whole body.
Preach.
If you have health problems, it's because you're not using your mouth in the right direction. I don't care what you believe. If you don't get it on your voice, it doesn't produce anything. The pros produces when you get to say them and you get to say those things, speak those things. You'll find out naturally with people, you know. It's number one, like, I've found this over time. You can't, like, person who's depressed, you can't get over depression talking and thinking wrong stuff and talking. You can't over. What you do is that person you gotta get them saying the right things. You gotta get them talking the right things. You gotta do them right. Another thing is get them doing something. Get their minds off themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they found out things with depression. I mean, people just going out doing regular exercise, people who have depression, it works better for their insanity, for their sanity standpoint, than taking medication.
Amen.
That's a proof that it works. But people like the medication. I won't do nothing. So they live under the weight of these things, acting on things. You know, if you believe the word, then act like it's true. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you, because God's word will produce whatever you believe and act like it's true, it'll produce it. It will not produce it. A person can believe in salvation. They can believe that if they believe Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, they can believe that with their heart, with no doubt, and they will not be saved until they confess it with their mouth. I don't care how much they believe it. There's people in hell today believed in salvation. They never confessed it. They never received it. That's how you receive it, by saying. You don't receive it because you believe it. You receive it because you say it's true and act like it's true. So get that into yourself with that. Saying about health, talking about yourself. Talk about yourself and your health and things. I mean, this guy understood he had healing. Now, I'm sure he didn't know all about the healing teaching, but he just knew this fact, that if Jesus said something, the power of this man's words, he heard enough about Jesus. What Jesus said came to pass. Now, what was Jesus saying? Jesus was a servant. Jesus was under authority when he was in authority. He wasn't in authority. He was under the authority of God. He was a man operating under the anointing of God. But he knew that this one had authority concerning him. Whatever this man says, God will do it. So if I say what he says, so what I want to do, I want to talk what he says. Because that's what God said. So get yourself into that. Begin to speak those things. Now, we're going to look here at another incident. This is in the Gospel of John. You'll notice that John didn't write a lot about healing. He didn't write a lot about healing and that stuff. John didn't. The other three did. Here's one with John, and John puts this one in here to this. In John, the fourth chapter. We'll go to John, the fourth chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 46 is where we're going to look. And it says here in verse 46 of John, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 46, it says this. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So here's a certain noble. Before he was in Capernaum, and a centurion came to him. Now this guy heard he was there coming up to Canaan. He went down there. His son's up in Capernaum. And so he says, this is a nobleman. So as a nobleman, this could be like a leader of the Jews or one of those. It doesn't mean this is Rome. He's a nobleman. But it says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea and into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, listen what Jesus says. Now, Jesus didn't speak just to be talking and saying something. He makes this thing because of dealing with the areas of faith. He said, when he heard that, you know, Jesus came, he said, from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means to believe. See, they needed to see to believe. People needing to see to believe. I need to see it to believe it. Now understand, for the Jews, this is not a good thing. These are covenant people. They're supposed to believe the word. Now we know this for a fact if you study Jesus' ministry. The people, it's said, you know, they believed he was a prophet sent from God. But yet, they have a problem. They don't believe his word. They have to see to believe. That's a problem. And so, they're going to have to, he said, here's your problem. He said, the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. He said, so the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now coming down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. He says, then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself believed, and his whole household. In other words, the guy turned around and said, you know, Jesus said that my son was getting well. I'm not even at home. But he believed. But you know what? See, number one, he could have said he believed, but he had to act on it. He had to head toward the house. Mm-hmm. You see, there's a thing about believing and acting. You need to see this thing here. He believed what he said. Now, this is a good thing. Jesus said to him, yeah, go your way. He listened to that. One of the things that you want to learn to do to this, especially somebody ministering in areas of healing to you or whatever, or even sometimes of what God tells you. I've had the Lord say certain things to me at times to go do. He said to go do. You need to obey and do. You don't go ask somebody to pray for you if you ain't going to listen to what they tell you. If you don't believe they're telling the truth, then go sit down and forget about it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you what, God many times going to tell you to do something because he wants you to act on that faith. He don't care. You can say things with your mouth, but yet not really respond to it and kill it. Like James said, you know, faith without works or for corresponding action, it's dead. See, you can believe and kill your faith. You don't want to do that. It's a matter of acting. And in his case, what he had to do, he had to go home. He had to, that's actions, okay? Jesus said, your son's well. So he has to act like that's true if he believes that. So he's, okay, I believe it. Let's go home, guys. We're heading back home. And so you need to yourself is doing that. When you believe, let me say this to you. When you believe, you receive something. I'm talking about receiving. Faith receives something as being true. That's what it does. When you pray, believe you receive it. You believe that you have it. You believe that you got it. You believe he gave it to you when you asked for it. So when you believe that he gave it to you, it should change something with your actions. Somewhere there. If you believe God gave it to you, it should change what you do. Number one, you shouldn't be running back asking God to give it to you again. See, this is people, they just keep, you know, they check and I don't feel better. Well, let's just, like I've heard people say, well, I'm praying and believing. Well, when are you going to start believing you received it? You'll stop praying. Amen. See, once you got to believe you have it, what would prayer, why would you be asking if you believe you had it? You know, if I walked up and gave you $100 and you said you need $100, I'd give you $100. I mean, if you'd come, oh, come on, Ed, give me $100. I'd think you're a nut. You already have it. Well, once you believe, you have it. And this is where faith is. We believe we have something we didn't see. That's what this guy did. He believed in something he didn't see. I'm going to tell you what. He did something that most spirit-filled people wouldn't even do today. I watch ministers believe. Do people tell them to do stuff? And, well, no, I can't do that. Okay, don't do that. You know? And they don't realize what they're doing. God is always, faith, God's always going to move you in the area. If you don't believe something, if you believe it, say it, and then act like it's true. It's always going to move you toward that. I've learned that over the years. I've learned this faith thing and how it works. One of the great things that I have had many things happen supernaturally is because the Lord told me. He said, my actions, I do extreme actions. I'll do extreme things. Why? My actions are very powerful to what I believe. Most people, that what happens, too many Christians, their actions are so weak mm-hmm. on what they do. And they don't realize. They're scared. They're afraid the word's not going, what if I do, the doctor said, we can't do this. You know, doctor said, I can't do that. I can't. I'm not telling you, if you don't believe, don't, you know, you better listen to the doctor. But you know, You're going to have to act like the word's true. You know, I've listened to people that tell them, boy, I'm just praying for God to have strength, and they're waiting for some kind of strength to come. No, start acting like you got it. Get up.
Amen.
If you believe He gave it to you, well, then get up and act like you got some. Don't be surprised it shows up. But as long as you sit there, don't expect a thing. It ain't coming. Mm-hmm. See, people got to do that. You ask for something, then you respond to it in there. It was one of the things is, you know, like when Wanda had her heart surgery and that stuff, you know, I would keep getting her to do things. It's number one, and she had a huge spirit, she had a huge speedy recovery. You know what? Actually, see, we agreed she is having a speedy recovery while we acted like she was having one. And then she got one. You know? When she went in and saw the surgeon, we could just tell his face when he walked out. He just couldn't believe, he was like, looked at her report and like looked at her. And it's like, wow, hold it. Did we just operate on this lady? Well, see, understand our part in that thing. God did what He did because we are response to what we believe He would do. And so get that into yourself and into things with people. We need to do more of that in building confidence in people as bringing them in the kingdom. It's not this, well, we get saved and we're sort of, you know, trying to, no, you come in the kingdom, God's going to bless you and get after you. I mean, go after Him. He'll do all kinds of things for you. We need to have that idea. What happens is we've gotten a fearful church. Well, what if I tell people that and it don't work? What if you do and it works? Mm-hmm. No, the devil keeps us from moving in that area. So, you know, well, God wants you well. Well, you know, what if I lay hands on somebody and don't get well? That ain't my problem. We just keep laying hands on people. God Amen. Said to do it.
Amen.
If people don't want to believe nothing and do nothing, well, that's up to them. Amen. God don't change. Let's get ourselves over into that. Because we see here with these things that God's doing. And so we want to walk in the light of this. Like with this gentleman here, he has come along and he acted just because Jesus said. In other words, the word's enough. So we see here in two of these different incidents in that stuff is telling us, in other words, Jesus called the thing with the centurion, that's great faith. So in other words, if you want to have great faith, that's what you're going to have to copy. Jesus said so. I don't care what somebody else says. Jesus said what was great faith.
Amen.
It was just believe with word. Word, yeah, that's enough. I remember when I heard the first time I was teaching and Kenneth Hagin talking about faith, he said the greatest faith you can ever have and isn't going to have somebody lay hands on you. He said, you believe the word yourself, believe it and act on it, and it comes to pass in your life. See, I've watched people, no big deal or anything, they just believe the word and have it come to pass. There's people walking around like they have great faith and they could not do what that person did at all. You know, I found out how to have great faith when I was just a few months old as Christian. I found out acting on the word. That's what God led me to act on the word. And I acted on the word and got healed. You know what? How God healed? Great faith. I just believed the word. It's great faith. I believed the word and that's what He got me to do. He asked me, He said, you believe 1 Peter 2:1-4? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, then act like it. You know, it wasn't any easier for me to crawl out of bed feeling terrible than it is for anybody else. But you decide how much you want to be well.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you, most people don't want to be well bad enough. They want comfort, not healing. I want comfort in my sickness. No, I want healed and get out of this thing right now. See, I don't know. I just hate being sick. I hate. You know, going around pain. I don't know about you. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Too many people do not hate sickness and disease. Therefore, it will trail on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. Sickness and disease is sin. That's its tattoo. Mm-hmm. But see, we don't treat it like that. Say, no, no, devil, you ain't bringing your junk over on me and carrying on me and doing this to me. Ha-ah, you ain't hauling me. You ain't destroying me. You ain't bringing your dirt over. And see, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants us to compromise into that, saying, well, you know, it's okay. You know? If I feel bad, you know, somebody will send me a card or somebody will do something. You know, I'll tell you, over the years of Christianity, I found loads of Christians and that stuff that sickness and disease is their attention getter.
Mm-hmm.
They use it. It's attention. It's how you get attention. It's what you do. And then you have the Christians. All their job is go with those kind of people, and it's always to pet and everything, pet them and all the time. Is help them stay in that place, petting them. You got trouble. And what happens is that people really need in trouble and need help. They don't get help because there's everything's going to the people who really don't. It's sort of like in our government. We're turning around and helping so many people. People that really need help don't get much help because we're spending billions on helping people that shouldn't be on the list to be helped. And, hallelujah. What I want to be is I want to be a helper.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know what? If you follow the Holy Spirit, that's what He'll make you a helper like He is. That's what He does.
Amen.
He'll turn you into a helper. Hallelujah. Praise God. The devil will turn you into a beggar. He'll turn you into one all the time. You're the one that always needs help. You're the one that's just trying to get by. That's where He wants to hold you. Don't let Him hold you there in that place. And how He holds you there? The way we think. The way we think and respond to it, the way we think. That's why we change the way we think. God's good all the time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Always think in that line. I'm going to go look here at this one. We're going to, and just see, there's things that we can see here in this. And this is the healing of Peter's mother. Now, it's talked about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this again, you know, that Jesus, who is the Word of God, saw that in the scriptures that we would receive, these were things were put in multiple times. You know, this is one thing as I found out. Generally, the flesh does not like repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me something new. You got something new on the list? You know, and continue in the repetition. But the repetition's here for purposes. We can see things, and the fact that God took the time to put this here. Again, it's three times He puts these things in. Then it's something we need to hear about it. There's things we need to learn. They are not stories. They are revelations.
Mm-hmm.
We tell too many stories about the Bible and not much about revelation. And getting the revelation that is in the story, that's what you want to get because you understand the revelation. Well, it says in Matthew, the 8th chapter. We're going to start in Matthew again. Back in Matthew. We'll go from Matthew to Mark to Luke on these. So it says about, if you go back and read the whole thing, Jesus was ministering people. This is in Capernaum. This takes place in Capernaum. That's where Peter's house was and things there. And he had ministered there and in the synagogue there and things. But it says here in verse 14, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And it says, so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. So it just seemed like he came to her house. He said he saw that the wife's mother was sick. Okay, but we want to go to Mark and look at it because Mark adds to what happened here. So we know this event. Peter's mother is sick. Now, you know, this is interesting. Peter's mother is sick, and Peter's off with Jesus out in ministry. If you didn't get the gist of it. Anyhow, Mark the 1st chapter, and then in verse 29 says this, now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, see they're up in Capernaum and Sunday, they came out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, with James and John. It says, but Simon's wife's mother, not says his wife's mother, lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she was sick. So we find out this one thing. Well, they went in. Jesus didn't, we see in this part, Jesus didn't know she was sick. They said to him. You know what you think about this? See, there's a response that people have, and you need to learn this. You know, James wrote concerning, is there any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. People usually do the opposite. They're waiting for somebody to come to them. They're waiting on. It's turned around. It's your response to him. See, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Lots of times I've found out Christians, they say, well, God knows my problem. Well, that means this. You're not going to get any help. Did you talk to him about, what did you say to him? See, people think because God knows, he responds. No, he doesn't. God doesn't respond. Understand, it comes on our side. We're responding. This is a big thing about faith, is our response to what we believe He will do. Not sitting back and waiting, well, if He's a nice guy, He'll come and take care of me. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. Our response to Him. If we believe He will do something, go to Him.
Amen.
Let Him know. So we find out they did this. So it says it's Simon's wife's mother, but it talks about it for, you know, his wife's mother. She's sick. And so he comes, he took her by the hand and lifted her up. In other words, sure, he touched her hand, but he lifted her up. In other words, do you know what? He's going to get her to do something. You know, when he did that and got her up, she got well. She'd have said, no, I can't get up. I can guarantee you she'd have stayed there. See, there's about faith in action. You'll see this all the time. Faith in action. Faith in action. I wish the church would get... The big thing that I learned when I started off as a Christian, the big thing I learned is acting. The church today is almost all talk. This is the problem.
Amen.
Actions. It's amazing what it'll do. People act on the word and what the power of things will take place when you act like it's true. I'm going to tell you, being in mental trouble, just acting like like God's helping you and get a smile on your face can do powerful things. Just an action of some sort, acting like God's going to do something. Say, I believe, and even the actions of your words, what are you saying God's doing? Well, God's doing it. He's taking care of this. I see that things look like a mess, but God's working with me. He's helping me on this. Number one, it's good for your own psychology. Because if you say anything else, you're your own depressor. Don't complain about the devil or anybody else. It's like, no. Like I've always said, you got to be your own best cheerleader. Nobody else may be on your team. So you got to learn to cheer. Do your cheering. And do that. I'm going to tell you what, and it works. You'll be blessed. Amen. And other people, in my words, people will see it because stuff will happen for you. It'll happen for you. Things will take place and people will see it. Well, Luke turned around and talked about this. It says in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 38 and 39, he made mention here of this. So Luke's talking about it, said, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request, here again, of him concerning her. They requested. So they asked him. Now think about it. Isn't this something to know? He's been out there healing and things going on. All this in Capernaum's where they came to the house. That night talks about him coming. I just think about that. She was sick. They hadn't brought her to Jesus. They hadn't brought her to Jesus. All this healing going on. See, I see people do that all the time. They don't believe they're going to get something from church. I'm going to get down and they're going to lay hands on me and I'm going to get healed. Nah. No, but I'll get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, make sure I get the doctor on time.
Right.
I'm never too sick to go to the doctor. It's interesting. So, but we see this. But what happened? When they asked, they responded in a direction. So understand, you know, we're looking at people here, and generally, what they do determines their healing. And how they're healed. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
They do. See, we all have it. Well, it's what God wants to do. That isn't the way it works. People are generally. Now, the guy, understand, we had this one guy. He came along, the nobleman. He said, hey, you come to the house. And Jesus said to him, you know, just go home, your son. So, in other words, God's saying for him to do something. But generally, you'll find this. As we look at this thing, it's always the person decides how it's going to turn out. The person does it. You want to get this idea. Get this in my response to him. So understand your level of faith will turn out to be that your level that you receive at.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, we have the thing like what Jesus told Kenneth Hagin about finances. It came down to this, what he could believe for. So Brother Hagin said he could believe for $150. He said it took everything he could to believe for $150 a week that he needed. It took him everything. But God responded to him at his level. He didn't respond to him to his need. He didn't respond to him with $1 million. Why? Because his faith. God's responding to him where his faith is. So understand, healing's exactly the same way. This is why the Lord told Kenneth Hagin concerning divine healing. He said divine healing is without any kind of aid, a doctor, anything like that, medicine, anything, nothing in the natural. It's believing God, God to heal. But he said, if a person goes to the doctor, I want to help them, have them believe for a quick recovery. So in other words, believing in that direction. And I find the failure many times people want something, but they're trying to get it on a low level. Their faith is not at. They want the top, but they don't have the faith to get there. So they end up getting nothing. Don't do that. Always take the time to find out where you can believe at. What can you believe for? What can you believe God can do? Now, he can do exceedingly abundantly above what imagine you think, but you know what? He ain't going to do none of it till you reach the level where you're believing. You're going to have, you're the key to start this thing home. You are. Always get in that fact. I'm the key. When I respond in faith, then God starts to respond to me. I can't please him. He's happy. What where can I meet him? That's why is take the time. Don't be so quick to just make some confession or say something or other. If you can't really believe and go there, you may end up with nothing. If you find out where you have your faith at, because I always found this often, I tell people, I started really small on things, but as I got on to it, when new small things happen, then all of a sudden, hey, I could take a bigger bite the next time. We'll do. I've watched people who are at the same level and have never changed. Why? Because they've always asked for more than they can believe, and it never works, so they don't have any confidence this thing works. The confidence is that you have acted on the word, and it will come to pass. So we have here with these, we look at these things here. These are really wonderful things. I'm not going to go into our next one, going to the next area tonight. Because it's going to take quite a bit of time as we go. We're going to deal with the demon-possessed guy. But we want to look at these things. It's really important. But getting this idea, as we look at Jesus, what's his response to people? What is his response? You know, even when he said to the guys, man, you guys always got to see something to believe. Well, what did he respond? Did he kick them out? Hey, wants people well. Okay. And, so understand this. He's always going to lead you to the area of faith. Why? That's what pleases God. God is pleased. So always, whatever level that you can respond to God for, do that. Because that pleases God. God is happy. You say, well, I don't have enough. Well, what's worse than not using any? Then you don't please him at all. But you use what you got. He has a response for you. Hallelujah. So get that in yourself. Don't ever be able, that's like having, you know, $10 in your pocket, you want a $20 meal so you don't eat it all. I see people do that faith-wise all the time. They're not eating at all because, you know, I don't have enough to get the big, well, eat, get what you can. Take a hold of it. Do that. You know? I know when Juan and I first believed for $20, we thought, well, that was a big thing, you know, brothers. Well, you know, I never had anybody or ever heard any, all the years as a kid sitting in churches, all through the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of services that I sat in, never heard anybody ever talk about believing God for money or anything like that. We never, you know, you just went, if God did something good, wow, that was really neat. They didn't know how it happened or where it came from. One day he decided to do something nice for them. And they didn't know. And when we turned around and came along with this thing and believing for money, just like to me, that was a foreign thing. And say, well, yeah, we're going to believe God. We need $20. And you might ask me to believe for $1 million. That $20, I mean, that was like, wow. Because I've never seen nothing like that. I've never seen anybody do anything like that. I never, all the Christians I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen them, tons of Christians, and they never did nothing with it. I never saw none of them really doing much of anything of faith, anything like that.
Amen.
You know? Most of them all believed that, you know, they were sick, all their troubles and things, God was doing, working things out in their life. And things generally didn't work well. I really feel bad because, you know, we have a retired guy down from us who's he's retired. I don't know why I think he was something. I forget what church he came out of. He came out of like a Methodist church or something. Went in among the Mennonites and became a Mennonite minister. And, I mean, I just feel so bad for him because, I mean, his health isn't great. His wife's is terrible. His daughter just died and this stuff. And I'm going to tell you, every Christmas, he does a letter. Oh, I wish he would never do those letters. Those letters, I mean, they're like a condemned to death. Every bad thing that happened during the year and all this stuff. I mean, he just wears it like a badge. And it's like, you know, it's like, and I know with this here, the Lord just put him in. He is so set in this thing, don't bother talking to him. It ain't going to go nowhere. He is so religiously set. I mean, he's like concrete. He's been thoroughly stirred and set. But see, they're believing and they're thinking along this line is just so has them set in an area. He can't. He just can't get by. You know, this is all, you know, we're just struggling down here in this kind of things. And boy, he's just always asking people to pray. But, you know, you can't keep saying all this junk and people praying because you're cursing all the time. Mm-hmm. See, he would never think that he's saying evil things, but he is saying evil things all the time, speaking against the goodness of God. Now, you know, the thing of it is, he's going to die. He's going to go to heaven. He believes in Jesus, and he does. But, you know, my God, I mean, he goes to heaven. He could have found out he could have had a little bit of that while he's here. But it's a shame. It's a shame. And that's why we need to get to the point of really being, you know, emphasizing the goodness of God to people, that we come and get saved because God has all kind of good stuff for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell people he wants them well. Tell people he wants, God's interested in your health. He's not making people sick. Because people are full of those ideas. And we need to go around, especially the sinners out here. What do they expect of God, you know? And it's like telling people, you know, God, well, you know, God will send you to hell. God never sent anybody to hell. There's people make a choice. People have choices whether we pick our place. God don't. This is just a spiritual law.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, if you ain't get born again, you ain't getting in the presence of God. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, God, devil sinned and God kicked him out. He couldn't keep him there.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to follow the devil. He can't keep him there. He can't have him there.
Mm-hmm.
Unrighteousness can't be in. People need to become righteous. I mean, God has blessings. Say you want the blessing. Come over here to the righteous side. This is where you're going to have to come to.
Amen.
Tell if you go to the righteous side, you know what over there? There's healing over there. There's a sound mind over there. So tell them all the things. This is in God's kingdom. This is what's there. See, you go there, you want to get that. That's what you want to come over here for. Because that's what's in the kingdom. These aren't sidelines of God. This is what he does. When people make up sidelines, then they become things that aren't necessary. Yet the people who talk that are always trying to get it. And they can't get it as long as they believe it's some kind of sideline of God. Healing's not a sideline, it's on top of the list.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. He took the curse for you. What a God. Hallelujah. When sickness comes, just stop and say, I refuse to be cursed. I'm not going. This is a curse. Sickness is a curse. There's no blessing in sickness. It's 100% curse. We is not having this thing.
Amen.
I refuse curse. See, what's God, you know, always do this. Stop and say, well, if God made me sick to teach me, why don't I know what it is he's trying to teach me? Because I never heard him. He said, he's trying to humble you. Oh, in other words, you're full of pride. Why don't you deal with your pride then? You know what? If you dealt with your pride today, you ought to be healed tomorrow. Well, if it is, pride's the issue. Well, repent and ask him to forgive you. Think he will? See, when people say those things, it is nothing but religious talk. Don't let that happen. And don't let people think that God operates that way with them. Hallelujah. He wants to save the whole person. Glory to God. He wants you to have some heaven right here on this earth.
Amen.
So whatever you're going through, God's on your side. You know what I think? I tell you, hallelujah. I just thank God all the time. You're going through things. The rest in the fact is this. Things are going on around you. Things are happening. But praise God, he's working to help me. I got
thank
the. He gave me the great help. God the helper lives in me. Woo!
Amen.
That's what you have. Glory to God. Father, we just say thank you tonight. Thank you for being so gracious and kind to us. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you that people preached the word to us and we could see. I thank you, Lord God, you brought light and life to us. And now, Lord, that's what we want to do for others too. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to preach to people to let them know, hallelujah, that the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Truly, Lord God, you're great. So thank you, Father, for opening up the words to us. Hallelujah. You broke the power and the bondages of what sin had done to man, that oppressed us, that held us under. Lord God, spirit, soul, and body, with everything. Hallelujah. Lord God, you freed us in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, I thank you. You didn't only free us, you gave us the ability to walk in it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.